James falling away, hits it, and ties Jordan for number four. Gets it to James. LeBron takes it to the rim and finishes with the left, and he's fouled. The legend of LeBron continues. He moves past his idol, MJ, for fourth on the all-time scoring list.
It's good to be king, just for a while. To be there in velvet, yeah, to give them a smile.
720 WGN, Carmen Harry with you. LeBron James passed Michael Jordan this week. Did you call me?
I text you.
What did you say?
I wanted to know if you were okay. I thought emotionally you were going to be, you know, having a rough one.
Curtis, did you call me?
I did not. I apologize. I should have.
You know, when in times of being past your childhood hero, your adult hero, you would think your closest friends would really just reach out. You know, Adam Hogue tweeted at me, wellness check on at the Carm. You just text me. You know how much 23 in red and white means.
No one will ever take away his 6-for-6 world championships.
But, you know, sometimes you got to talk it through in these moments. I know rationally we all have that, but in that moment, you know, I didn't have the strength to reach out.
LBJ, what do you have on his gym shoes?
Something thanking Michael.
Right.
And he said a lot of nice things. That's all cool. And Curtis, feel free to pull up any of those fine, nice comments. But I needed a phone call, Harry. Maybe I should have reached out to you. And I needed a phone call from you, 312-981-7200. I mean, the people that the blood, sweat, and tears, the loyal listeners to Carmen Harry on a Saturday afternoon.
Is there anybody out there that thinks LeBron is better than Michael was?
Nick Wright is one guy that thinks that LeBron is better. I've heard who's I used to do radio with.
Kansas City.
Now just tarnishing Jordan's name on Fox Sports One every morning with Chris Carter.
You know what I did
yesterday, Harry? What are you going to tell me? Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's okay to ask for help. If you feel like you need, you know, someone to comfort you, to listen to you, I'm there for you. But, I mean, in the big picture, you know, this is not a big deal. LeBron's played forever.
118 more games it took him to pass Mike. Right.
So, I mean, he was going to pass him at some point.
Right. But, you know, for any Jordan fans out there who are having a tough time with this, I'm here for them right now. I'll talk to you, 312-981-7200. Maybe I'm the only one that was just a little, didn't sleep as well, whatever night that was, Thursday night, Wednesday night?
Yeah, I mean, did LeBron ever light up the garden?
It was Wednesday night.
Did LeBron ever light up the garden like Michael
did?
He's
had some games in the garden.
Yeah, not like Michael. Did he ever put the Pistons to shame at the peak of their superiority?
Do you know what I did, Harry, to help myself through this?
Got really stoned.
No, that was not it. That was not the plan.
That would help your toe, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did have another toe procedure yesterday, so I'm on some Tylenol with codeine today.
I hope
I don't know if that's
effective. You should be in a rock band, man. Tylenol with codeine.
Well, that's
look out. You better not be driving.
I took an Uber over here. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
See, I'm a professional here.
I would have picked you up.
That's okay. I had to be here.
I meant emotionally.
Oh, okay. You know, what I did was, Harry, is I outside of watching some videos, I also went back through the stats. Do you know that in Michael's ninth game,
yes,
he scored 45 points.
Is that good?
Ninth game against the Spurs, 45. You know that in his first 178 games, LeBron scored 45 one time. In his first 178 games. You know that by Jordan.
And Michael, I don't mean to upset anybody, but Michael really was playing on a team without a lot of talent.
Of course. Do you know how many times Jordan scored 45 or more in his first 178 games?
Seven.
23 times. Now, I think all those numbers come together. In his first 178 games, he scored 45 or more 23 times.
Look, here's all you got to say about Michael Jordan. Is everybody knew he was getting the ball, and he couldn't be stopped. And his jumper got better, and his defense got better. And Michael Jordan was the greatest player probably the greatest individual player in any team sport. You know, Gretzky, you could argue, was better. But Michael, 6-for-6 in world championships. NBA Finals, 6-for-6.
Yeah, I know there's some things that you just, and you should let go. And we talk about MJ quite a bit on the show. But
do you think?
With LeBron passing him this week.
We talked about Michael B. Jordan for 20 minutes just so you could get in some extra Michael Jordan thoughts.
You know that LeBron in the finals 1 year had Kyrie who averaged 28. He had Dwayne Wade who averaged 26.
That's what I'm saying.
What's the most point that Scottie Pippen ever averaged in the finals?
Well, Scottie was better than Kyrie, better than D. Wade. Scottie Pippen was spectacular. Scottie Pippen was defensively... You know, maybe, you know, I mean, if not for Michael, Scottie Pippen was like the best, you know, defender in NBA Finals history.
Right, but you also need people along with you to put the ball in the hoop. That takes, it's not just.
So, Scottie, what's his highest average? 19.
21. He scored 20 and 91, 21 and 92, 21 and 93. And then in the second three-peat, 15 against the Sonics in 96, 20 against the Jazz in 97, and 15 in 98.
You know,
so all this help that MJ was getting from Pip, let's not go crazy.
It's really the first three-peat, people kept thinking the Bulls were going to lose.
And they thought
they were going to lose to the Lakers, and they lost the opener at home.
Okay,
and then against Portland, you know, some people said, oh, I don't know, Portland's awfully tough. And then Phoenix came into town with like was a chance to send the series back to Phoenix even or something like that. I'm trying to remember. But, you know, they had Barkley and Thunder Dan and, you know, and...
Well, that series should have been a sweep. The Bulls won the first two on the road, and then they lost game three in triple overtime. Mm-hmm. Then they won game four. Jordan had 55, and I was in jail because I tried to sneak into Chicago Stadium. That sucked.
When you say you're in jail, that's not like... You're not like saying something was felt like being in jail. You were
in actual jail. Yeah, I've told that story many times on the station. I'm not going to tell it again, but that was that night.
Right.
I was in jail.
At least you weren't on a first date.
Right. And then game five, I think that they laid an egg, and then they had to go win game six when Pax hit the shot. But it was getting dicey there.
I was never in jail that early in the evening.
How many times have you been to jail, Harry? You want to talk about your jail history right now?
Well, are you counting marriage?
You know what?
What?
You're not in jail. You have a wonderful opportunity for more engagement in your marriage. How's that?
I can engage someone else?
Okay.
What are you saying?
The show, you, have you really ever been in the actual...
I did stand-up comedy for 7 years, driving through a lot of big cities and through a lot of small towns.
Okay, we don't have to relive all that. Well, congratulations. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here today. How's that?
I'm very happy to be here.
That's a way to get out of that one. All right, we got a special tribute coming on back here. We'll take a quick time out.
Who's the tribute for?
Well, we're going to explain that coming back here. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. 312-981-7200. Carmen, Harry with you. We will talk some Blackhawks as well. Hawks and the Dallas Stars, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop right here on 720 WGN. WGN 720 518. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Mark Carmen, Harry Tynowitz. So we mentioned on White Sox Weekly, I just want to mention it again here. One of the greatest stories that we've ever had in this city. Cubs winning the World Series, White Sox winning the World Series, Bulls 6 titles, 85 Bears. The Loyola Ramblers.
Yeah, forget a hockey team in there, son?
Yeah, I believe there was 3 Stanley Cups, 2 for the Chicago Blackhawks, who we're going to talk about. My bad. Sorry, Harry. Didn't mean to leave that out. 2010, 2013, 2015. My bad. The Loyola Ramblers going to the NCAA tournament may be the biggest stunner that no one saw coming. And the way it captured the city, the nation, Sister Jean, all of it, it was an incredible moment last year. And the Ramblers losing today to Bradley, 53-51. So they're out. Won't be going back to the tournament. That deserves a moment of time on the show today, just how awesome it was last year to see a true Cinderella make that run It was a great moment in college basketball time. And college basketball is all, you know, since the DePaul era, it's just struggled to get any juice here. Northwestern going was sweet. Loyola took it to a new level last year.
Yeah, and I mean, it happens so rarely that a Cinderella goes to the Final Four. Like George Mason, you know, comes to mind. Yeah. That was
an Indy.
Yeah, I was there. UCLA, I believe, won that year. And Florida won that year with Joakim Noah. And, you know, what Loyola did was great last year. But I know people that are like, Porter Moses overrated and look at his record. And
saying that.
People, you know.
Okay.
You know, to me, Loyola Ramblers did everything right. You know, we're talking about two major college coaches in trouble with the FBI this week.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that story is going to get a lot bigger before it gets any smaller. Yeah, LSU, who wins the SEC, they are without their head coach because of an FBI wiretap that has him saying, you know, about how Smart needs to be paid, and Smart is their freshman guard. And then Mark Gottfried, who is at Cal State Fullerton now, but was the coach at Pitt. And when he was a coach at NC State, they got him on wire. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of that going around. So here's a guy, Porter Moser, that just puts together a hell of a team right here on the north side of Chicago. And they go to the Final Four last year.
He looks like a Rambler. He legit looks like the mascot. Like, certain people belong where they're at.
Yeah, you know who looked like their mascot a lot? And 312.
Coach K looks like the mascot a ton.
312.
Tell me that guy's not the Blue Devil.
981-7200. 312-981-7200. Has there ever been a college basketball coach that looks more like their mascot than Gene Katie looks like the Purdue Boilermaker?
That's very true, too.
Put a helmet on him. Give him that sweatshirt with the P. He is Purdue Pete.
And Gene Katie was in the building today.
Yes, he was.
At Welsh Ryan Arena watching
as
the
Boilers. As were Brad Hall and Julie Louise Dreyfus.
Yep. They caught Julie Louise Dreyfus on her phone as it was going down the stretch. I'm like, don't show that.
Do you remember Dave Odom, the head coach at Wake Forest?
Of course.
I thought he looked just like the Demon Deacon.
He had a similar Demon Deacon look. That's also solid.
Mm-hmm.
I also would like to...
And I'm excited for the tournament, by the way.
Yeah, and so am I. I also like to mention a guy who I... Southern Illinois, Barry Hinson, is resigning.
Yeah.
Okay?
No dancing.
No dance.
7 years, no dance.
No, and he feels terrible about the fact they never got there. Okay? And supposedly, according to Jeff Goodman, who does a great job covering college basketball... He's reporting that Loyola assistant Brian Mullins, a source telling Stadium that the former Saluki guard and current Loyola assistant Brian Mullins is the front runner, perhaps, for the Rambler gig, or for the Saluki gig, leaving Loyola's assistant to go down and coach Southern Illinois.
It's interesting. I have another source telling me it's St. Francis coach Ryan Marks.
So that's who I'd like to throw out there. The University of St. Francis in Joliet, Division II NAIA. Ryan Marks, who was an assistant coach at Northern Illinois.
I didn't mean to steal your thunder. No, I didn't know you were going here.
I'm literally going here. Ryan Marks, who was an assistant coach at Northern Illinois, they went to the tournament.
Yeah, they did.
Last time Northern Illinois has been to the tournament.
Ryan Marks was on the bench.
Coach Marks on the bench. All right. Then he goes to a Division III school, Southern Vermont College. School's never done anything. Makes the NCAA tournament there. Okay,
that's pretty incredible.
Southern Vermont College D3, like literally.
What is their mascot? You found a school. I don't know the mascot of.
I don't know it either. Curtis, Southern Vermont College mascot. Give me
Vermont.
Give me a wellness check on that.
Do you know Vermont?
The Catamounts.
Look at you.
Yes,
you're in your big boy pants today.
Okay, Division II, St. Edward's University, mm-hmm. Austin, Texas, the Hilltoppers, Harry, one of mm-hmm. your favorite. That school never done anything. Takes them to three conference tournaments in a row. Gets promoted to Division I University of Texas Pan American, okay? UTPA, that's like a Chicago State level, which would also mm-hmm. be another great mm-hmm. place for Ryan to land. UTPA, never done anything. Starts out a 6-win season, 8-win season. Gets him to 500, new AD. New AD wants to hire his own guy. They blow out Ryan. He ends up at the University of St. Francis. And now, as an 8 seed, they go and they win their conference tournament this year. They had a ton of tough losses.
Well, we're not talking the one in Pittsburgh that Norm Van Leer went to. We're talking St. Francis in Chicago.
Right.
Yeah.
Joliet. So they go and they win their conference tournament. They get in the NAIA D2 tournament as an 8 seed, playing a 1 seed. He wins the first round matchup there, and then they get knocked out in the second round. I'm just telling you, Ryan Marks out of the University of St. Francis would be a great hire for any school, one of the directionals, Southern Illinois. That'd be a great hire for the Salukis.
I don't know why they're not talking to him.
We don't know for a fact that they're not, but chances are they're not.
Update on Southern Vermont College mascot. It's Monty the Moose.
Monty the Moose, of course.
So they're the moose, which would be singular.
I'm just reading off of Google. I don't actually.
Right. What do I mean? Moose says is not a word.
Ah.
Right? I mean, even if you're like having dessert in a fancy restaurant, you say, I want like 3 chocolate mousse. You wouldn't say chocolate mousses. You'd say chocolate mousse.
Correct.
I want 3. Maybe say 3 chocolate mice.
I mean, one thing I would say is your expertise is how to turn a dessert into a plural.
Oh, yeah.
That's your game right there.
Well, you know, and when you're talking about, like, waitresses, remember what I taught you?
Always tip?
Always. Bartenders, waiters, waitresses. It's not their hobby. So, yeah, always tip. Grossly overtip. Vendors, grossly overtip. No, when you have a group of, when you're out somewhere and you see more than one waitress, they're not waitresses. You refer to them as waitry.
Waitry. Okay. Is that accurate, or are you making that up? Is that a real thing?
It's a hairy thing.
Waitry.
Yeah.
That can't be accurate.
Yeah.
I'm the type of guy that believes you when you say things like that.
Waitry.
Waitry.
Yeah, say it in front of your fiance and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't think.
Say, hey, they got hot waitry here. Chelsea will love it.
You know what she said to me today?
She said, I want to have your child.
We're talking about place to live. I said, I heard about this great neighborhood. Maybe we should live there. I'm like, oh yeah, where? Like, I thought she was going completely off the board. Roscoe Village. I'm like, listen, this
Belmont and Western, baby.
I'm like, you know, this really great neighborhood. I think it might be all right. Wrigleyville, Riverdorf, The Loop,
Bucktown.
Have you heard of Bucktown? Okay, I just started laughing. Okay, real fast. Tarney's calling in. He went to Bradley, I believe, because it says shout out to Bradley here. What's up, Tarney?
Oh, listen, it's not a cup called now. I have to revel in my Bradley Braves beating Loyola. Listen, I was pulling for Loyola, and I agree with you guys. It was a great story last year. You know, Bradley has a great history of basketball, not recent history.
They have a tremendous history of basketball.
Oh, of course. You know, they've won 4 NITs, and I know NITs aren't, you know, real big now, but back in the day, it was. And they've been in the NCAA championship game. They lost twice in the 50s. I think one of them was thrown by Bradley. But listen, I like Loyola of Chicago because I am a Chicago guy. I live in Bucktown, by the way. There's plenty of places for you and Chelsea to move to. I'd love to have you as my neighbor.
Thanks, Tarney.
But Bradley still has to win the championship in order to get into the NCAA tournament. But, yeah, I just wanted to give a shout-out to the Bradley Braves.
You got it. Tarney.
Thanks, guys, for calling. Or thanks, guys, for listening, okay?
Yeah.
Sure.
We called, too. We'll call you back in the next segment if we need some Bradley Brave love.
Yeah, they played in two championships, and they played in 2 Final Fours and 3 Elite Eights. And, you know, Hersey Hawkins was a great Bradley Brave who played for the Bulls at one point.
How many more Bradley players could you name other than Hersey Hawkins?
Jim Less.
Jim Less was a good Bradley Brave. That's a good name.
He went to the Sacramento Kings.
Had the Less underneath the number with the Kings. Number 3, Less underneath. That's what the Kings did it. They were breaking the mold. All right, quick timeout. Get into news, and then we may have a special guest for you coming up after news.
Oh.
Special guest, 720 WGN. Big game tonight, Harry Tynowitz. Never say die, damn it. Blackhawks, Dallas Stars. You just got to win out. Right, Chris Bowden? Welcome to the beat. Thank you for joining us.
I think so. I thought you guys were having a special guest or something coming up here.
Well, I saw it's you.
I saw you.
No, it wasn't. I just came in to say hello.
I saw you.
I'll teach you.
I saw you walked in. I got super excited. We
never say hi to the beat, guys.
That is on you right there. You made yourself way too
visible. But see, I learned you have an ailment you're dealing with. You're playing hurt. And this is the time of year to play hurt. All right,
I'm
for radio people. It's around the clock. Right?
Leave it all in the studio, Kerm.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, nobody is battling like I am with arthritis of the big toe at the tender. I'm still in my prime at the tender age of 45 over here. I'm trying to get back on the tennis court with playing at my highest level ever. That's my goal.
Right.
And
one goal.
And so I
see what he did there.
I've taken to some perhaps Eastern medicine here, getting some blood taken out of my arm, and then they put it into a whole solution. They shoot into your toe, and it's going to work, Chris Bowden.
Cool.
Yeah.
Get some of that whenever I'm feeling bad too.
Right. For now,
it's happening often.
For now, I can't walk. All right. So let's start with Patrick Kane, who passed Steve Larmer.
Yeah.
Fourth all time. So Savvy's up next. Would you say, I've heard a bunch of people recently say that Patrick Kane is going to be the greatest player in the history of American hockey. Is that too tall?
No, I don't think so. And I think he's got 7 or 8 more years in him with the kind of player that he is, the way the league is right now, what it has morphed into, be favoring his type of game even more. And if he continues treating his off seasons like he has more recently than he has some other off seasons of his past. I mean, it's just been amazing. He always finds a way to better his game each and every year. At the tender age of 30, I think he's still got a lot more in him. Now, whether he has 500 plus more points in him to catch Dan Mikita, I don't know. But just based on what he has done so far, I could very easily see that happening if he continues at any type, something similar to the type of pace that he's been on through the first 10, 12 years of his career.
I thought the way he gave Larmer respect the other night, the dude, after every game, it seems like he knows exactly what to say.
But he knows. He
knows
is,
the mics are phones well, are
not,
there.
No, not only that, but he's just a hockey geek. He goes home and he's watching games on his off nights and when they're in the hotel on the road. He is on top of everything. A couple weeks ago when he was asked about a 3-point game and whether he was going to catch up to Kucherov, he was about 10 points or so behind Kucherov. And this was right after the game. Kucherov played that game as well. And he goes, well, I thought I was going to gain some ground with 3 points, but I see Kucherov had a 4-point night tonight. So he is totally on top of everything. And it doesn't affect his play at all either.
Reminds me of Frank Thomas was along those lines.
Yeah.
Always.
And wouldn't you say Kucherov's going to be your MVP?
Oh, no question.
Yeah. I mean, if the Blackhawks did make the playoffs, I think Patrick had a legitimate shot, no matter how many points ahead of Patrick Kucherov finished, because he's a great player amidst a bunch of other great players on that Tampa Bay team. But it's not looking right now like the Blackhawks are going to make that push after what they've been through here for the past 2 weeks.
You know, Patrick Kane is spectacular, and he is he's set up to have like you said a very, very long run. I can't tell you how spoiled fans are. You know, he gets the puck anywhere on the ice, and he's lethal. And, only four guys have ever had 220-game scoring streaks in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
And the other three guys were all Hall of Famers. So
Gretzky, Lemieux.
Brett Hull?
Yeah, Brett Hull. Adam Oates was in that mix, too, I think. Although he may not have. He
was
the
guy setting up.
Mark.
He was the guy setting up Brett Hull for all those. But
right.
Only, the other great, Modano obviously is a great American player, but Chelios.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to mind when you're talking about great American players. So the Hawks have had two of them, but they got to win tonight. That weekend that killed them was the weekend when they lost to Colorado and Dallas at home.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago, and those are probably two of their better games too. Because let's face it, the Hawks have done this just by scoring, and that's the other thing. As ugly as it's been defensively for this team all year long, and it was that way last year too, they still haven't been able to fix that, and that has to be off-season priority number one for Stan Bowman. But despite that, the entertainment quotient has still been real high on this team because of what they're able to do offensively with the way Taves has bounced back this year, how DeBrincat has raised the bar from what he did as his rookie year.
Next and superstar in Chicago.
Yeah, really. And so the entertainment quotient has been real high with this team. They've still been fun to watch, but at the same time, they've been aggravating to watch in their own end. They just can't seem to consistently clean up some of the mistakes that they have had. And it's carried over from last year into this year too.
What's impressed you most about Jeremy Colleton, who came in a very tough situation and seems, I mean, from my perspective, it seems like he's gained the respect of the team, and you know, they turned it around there for a little while and still, whatever, battling it out the rest of the way. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I've been real impressed by him. We all kind of knew he was going to be the next one in line. I think a lot of us were shocked by how soon he was the next one in line last November 6th. And let's face it, when he took it over, it was a messy situation, and There was a flood of games. He didn't have a whole lot of practice time to institute what changes he wanted to institute. It took a while, but credit to him and credit to the guys who have been around a while, who easily could have just thrown their hands up and say, "All right, forget this season." Because I think it shows the amount of pride that the Taves and the Canes and the Seabrooks and the Keese and the Crawfords all have, and the fact that they stuck to it. They followed what he was saying. It was certainly a new voice and certainly new schemes and new structures that they had to adapt on the fly, but eventually they got it. And I think the fact that they went on that run where they won 10 of 12, and he even goes back to a little larger body of work from mid-December up to 2 weeks ago, really, that the results started coming in what they were doing. So I think that even solidifies the belief in Colleton.
The Hawks had, you know, no argument. They had the second winningest coach in the history of hockey, and it wasn't working out, and they said goodbye to him, and it took Colleton a while to get the locker room, and they still take stupid penalties. I don't think you blame that on Jeremy Colleton. They still don't take advantage of the power play. You saw they had a streak of 7 wins in a row where they kept scoring power play goals, multiple power play goals every night. So what's happened with the Hawks is guys that were off are now starting to play truer to form, like Brandon Saad. Saad last year was not Saadzilla, you know, and now he's back to being, you know, Sodder, and he's a power forward in the sense, like an NBA power forward who's not driving hard to the basket isn't going to be effective for you. So, I mean, it's a shame because the defense put the Hawks in a position where it's going to be impossible to make the playoffs, and, you know, so now what can you do? You just got to hope you go on a roll, and, you know, Colorado's best, one of their best players got hurt. Landeskog is out for the year, and you just got to, you know, hope something crazy happens.
Yeah, I mean, let's see, Sister Jean's not doing anything now, so maybe this is the way the Blackhawks make their run into the playoffs. Yeah, it's going to be a near impossible climb. It's going to take a miracle to do anything this year based on losing 4 out of 5. And just in that small range of time, they had that second wild card for the span of about 45 minutes or so.
Yeah,
after that game in Detroit a couple of weeks ago. But the fact that the way the West is this year, any little stumble of a week, 10 days, with those other teams you're battling out with, if they take off and get on a hot streak, all of a sudden, you know, you're back in the rearview mirror.
I don't know what the Blues were doing today, but, I mean, the Blues owned February, and you're like, oh, my God, the Blues, they were the worst team in the West, like, 6 weeks, you know, 8 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, oh, my God, the Blues are going to win the division. Now it's like Blues might not even make the playoffs.
Yeah, well, they're still sitting in third. They were playing this afternoon at San Jose. When I left the house, they were down 2-1 early in the second period at San Jose.
Good. Lost in OT 3-2. I can't believe you guys weren't watching that as closely as I was.
You've got a screen right there.
How about the Bruins, Carm? How about the Bruins?
Bruins, Judd's having a good old time in Boston.
Unbelievable.
14-0-4 in their last 18 going into tonight.
And they're playing the Senators tonight. I mean, that's another win. So they'll keep on rolling.
Yes. Yeah, so some of the Senators, they'll have, you know, Senators for years have had trouble in Massachusetts, right? Teddy Kennedy.
It's a good one, Harry.
Is that game in Boston? I don't know.
It is.
Chris Bowden, Blackhawks pre and post, kind enough to jump in here for a couple minutes. Before you go, I know you got to get prepared here.
You're saying he's not prepared?
Well,
you're saying he walks into the station?
If you're anything like me, there's always some last-minute stuff.
That's right.
So between the Brent Seabrooks and the Duncan Keiths and just guys who have been here for a long period of time, do you see anything happening in the offseason where perhaps a name that you wouldn't think would be moving along, the Blackhawks would perhaps try to get some salary cap flexibility and maybe get younger at the same time?
I don't know if anything like that will necessarily happen. They already have some space built in. The Kunitz will go off the book. Cam Ward will go off the book. I think the thing to be most encouraged by, and again, I think it's going to be very difficult to move any of those longtime guys who are tenured and are locked in on contracts and no movement clauses and whatnot. Perhaps Anisimov might be a guy with, I think, one more year left on his contract at 4.5. Some of his restricted movement clauses in his contract open up as soon as this season is over, if the Hawks were to go that route. But so they will have cap room. They don't necessarily have to commit to some of these young defensemen that they're experimenting with that are restricted free agents that they could let go. And that could hopefully open up some space on that roster, especially on the blue line, to maybe go shopping for a good, solid, stay-at-home defenseman or two. Maybe the most of the young guys, the most ready is going to be Ian Mitchell, a kid who's playing at Denver right
yeah,
now,
they really like
who is the most defensively capable. Boqvist probably needs it the other year. But the other thing to take consideration of this season is depth wise they have found, I think, three good pieces here. Well, Dylan Strome, I don't think he's a depth guy. He's definitely a strong number two center.
Yeah, he's a top six.
But they've gone out and acquired Drake Kajula that they got for Brandon Manning.
Very good trade.
And then Dominic Cahoon, who nobody had heard of, has been mostly a top six guy this year. I don't know if he's a top six guy long term, but at least you have guys like Kajula and Cahoon that you have confidence in. You know they can play at this level, and at the very least, they're going to be third line, fourth line depth guys that they might be able to plug in there as they go shopping for maybe some higher name free agents to stick along the top six.
And I know he hasn't scored yet, but I like Dylan Sikora. Dylan Sikora is around the puck. He knows what to do. And do you know how much this is killing Karam that we're talking about the Hawks this long and not the Bulls?
It was my idea.
It's our conversation here. Yeah, Sikora. And you know what? Sikora is going to get an opportunity on the top line tonight. He's cycling back in. John Hayden's going to sit.
Love it.
And Sikora is going to play with Jonathan Toews and Brandon Saad here tonight. But it's time for him to start showing something, too.
Watch Karm's face. Otto Porter Jr.
I actually have I have a red hot Bulls take for you coming on back here. So thank you for teeing that up for me here. Chris, have a great broadcast. All right,
thanks for having me.
Chris Bowden, pregame at 6:30. Blackhawks and the Dallas Stars, puck drop at 7. But yes, a red hot Bulls take coming on back here, 720 WGN. You know, Harry.
Yes, hot take on the Bulls.
I got a hot take. Okay. So,
Carmen Harry, he's at the Carm. I'm at Hey Tweet Harry.
720 WGN. Please follow me. It makes my day so much better when I get a follower. I do great work on Twitter, at the Carm. So, Harry.
Carm.
I was watching the Bulls game. I watched it. I had this foot procedure yesterday, so I tapped out early last night, and
are you going to be okay?
We'll see. But so I'm watching the Bulls game on Fubo TV today. You ever checked out a Fubo TV?
I know FUBAR. I don't know Fubo.
So Fubo is interesting because you can't rewind unless you want to go all the way back to the start, and you can't fast forward. And so you get the in-game feed. Like, I'll get the Dunkin' Donuts race.
Oh,
I got the bow cam.
Interesting.
All this stuff. For the intro, they gave the standard NBC Sports Chicago intro.
Right.
So normally, I'm probably not paying as close attention to that. But it was, here it was. And so before the game, in the locker room, they're showing Robin Lopez, and next to him is Shaquille Harrison, Shaq Harrison, their backup point guard. This is before the game, and he's mowing on a plate of nachos. he's having chips in the locker room.
Okay, like how close to the start of the game?
I don't know when
the game started at 7.
So, okay, the media is allowed in to the locker room from 5:30 to 6:15. So in between that time when the cameras are in there.
So the longest he could have had is 45 minutes.
Well, the longest he could have had if they walked in right at 5:30 and it was let's say it's 5:31 games, so 90 minutes. He's mowing nachos.
But you would have seen him, right?
Well, listen, the media's allowed in 5:30 to 6:15. Uh-huh. So that's when they go in. So maybe he's 5:30 at his locker and he's eating nachos, 90 minutes to game time. But so in this day and age of the plant-based food And
you and your plant-based food.
And all the amazing proteins that are out there that can carry you through an NBA night. To see the Bulls' backup guard, who actually played pretty well last night.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the whole team should be eating nachos.
Just crushing nachos. It made me think of, you know, old school, like, 1980s Quentin Daly Bulls, yeah. R.I.P.
Well, this is really...
Nachos before the game? What type of pregame is that? What type of organization are you running over there, Jim Boylan?
This is really, you know, this is really a bad thing for Shaq Harrison to be doing because there's a baby raised there. You should be having barbecue chicken. And how unprofessional to be eating so close to performing.
Right? So am I nuts to be, like, at least moderately, mildly offended by... The cameras are on too. Put the nachos away. You have nachos at your locker. I get it. This is you're not trying to win and whatnot. And then, by the way, maybe they ran out of energy last night. They were up 21, and the Detroit Pistons fighting for a playoff spot just come roaring back. And Stacey King.
You think Michael Phelps ever had a plate of nachos before the Olympics?
Right. No plate of nachos. Shaq Harrison, you're trying to make a name for yourself, dude. You're trying to prove that you belong in the NBA. If I was boiling, I walked in right before the game. I see you eating nachos. That's not going to work for me, sir. Give me a nice. How about a wheat bagel? Let's go with a wheat bagel.
Remember some Jason? Hummus. Remember Jason Hamill, the pitcher on the Cub?
Of course,
he had to for his conditioning. Eat potato chips on the games he started.
Yeah. Okay, that was because he would get dehydrated and whatnot.
Right, he needed the salt. He would come into the dugout. I'm just saying.
You're saying Bulls training staff, is your theory is that they...
Jeff Tanaka might have, I mean, look, let's just give him the benefit of the doubt. He might have been told... Like, if you ever
eat these nasty nachos with this processed cheese, it's good for you?
It's a possibility. Hey,
Miguel Cabrera did that in Detroit. He walked over a foul ball, went in the stands. He walked in, grabbed a chip out of a guy's nacho thing.
See, now that's one funny. Chip. That's a single chip. Here, you know, this is the pregame meal for a huge game, Bulls Pistons, which, by the way.
Isn't every Bulls game a huge
it's
game?
It's a huge game. I'm wondering, potentially, because Stacey King was torching Jim Boylan down the stretch last night. He was saying, you know what? Jim Boylan's got to look at his substitution pattern. You can't just be taking Lowry and Zach LaVine off the court and leaving this second unit out there all by themselves for long stretches, which is rare that I thought that Stacey was going at the head coach of the Chicago Bulls.
And I like it that 13, Kendall Gill, the great Kendall Gill, pointed out that in the day, Scottie Pippen would always come out late in the third, and Stacey obviously was a teammate of Scottie.
Michael and/or Scottie would always be on the court.
Their second unit were four guys usually, and Scottie, and that worked.
Well, it helped the second unit. It also helped Scottie in that scenario become a more developed offensive player. Any rate, just I know it's a burning hot take over here, but no nachos before the game, man.
It's food for thought.
Lunchtime nachos.
You know,
or how about this? If you're going to have nachos before the game, have them in the training room. Don't be sitting at your locker when the media is out there eating nachos. Am I overreacting here? Nachos?
Did you see that?
What, are we going to have a hot dog next? Go get me an ice cream from the 200 level?
Speaking of, why would you have to go to the 200 level for ice cream?
That's a good point. Fine.
Speaking of nachos.
Want to get the Haagen-Dazs roll in here?
Did you see the guy and his dog were trapped in a car for 5 days and they survived because he had Taco Bell hot sauce packets?
Ooh, that's delicious.
And so he said that's how that they stayed alive, both he and the dog. That's hard, by the way, to give a dog that without the dog, like, you know, eating the whole packet. So Taco Bell is giving him food for a year. Free food, free Taco Bell for a year.
That's very nice of Taco Bell.
So this would be a much more challenging way to stay alive.
Right. Shaq Harrison, I like what you're doing on the court, off the court. Get rid of the nachos. We'll get you into news in 2 minutes, 720 WGN. WGN, Mark Carman, Harry Tynowitz with you till the bottom of the hour. Blackhawks hockey is coming up. Chris Blewett, Harry, we haven't mentioned Blewett for just a moment.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
Blewett.
You're a 5-year-old, so you can good. Make that joke.
Yes, I know.
Anybody else? I saw the guy play at Pitt. Anybody else would make sense.
I mean, I think it takes a certain level of guts to go out, sign Cody Parkey, move on from Cody Parkey when it doesn't work out, go out and get yourself a Redford Jones who doesn't, who sounds like anything, like Redford Jones, doesn't that sound like he's a tattoo artist or something? Redford Jones is your kicker?
It sounds like a mountain man.
Yeah, mountain man, that's good.
Yeah, you know,
dude works in like the Boundary Waters canoe area, and he's got a tent and he outrigs people.
So you know, I like to call more than one waitress waitry. I've always said don't trust men with two first names, but then I met you. You have two first names, Mark Carmen.
Yeah, I do. I guess
you know. In general, I'm always a little weary when I'm around guys with two first names. Now, two last names, I tend to like
Redford Jones.
Yeah.
Redford Jones is a guy you can trust, but I don't know if that's really, if you just go by name, it doesn't sound like your kicker. Chris Blewett definitely doesn't sound like
your
kicker.
No.
Wouldn't you, if you were Blewett, wouldn't you add on like a Blewett ski? wouldn't you make a...
For all the people that like shorten their name, he's going to add on to his name? I don't know. Extensions aren't always a good idea, Kerm.
Harry's been wanting to talk about a story all day today that I've been fighting back against. But since you just brought it up, go ahead. You're very excited.
Well, this story that you want to discuss.
Go ahead.
Well, this is a story that there's a lesson to be learned from this. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So in Paris, a billionaire diamond trader went to an upscale medical clinic to get an extension.
Uh huh.
And he died in surgery.
Lower region extension, died in surgery is the story.
Yes. And the story is that moments after something was injected in that area. He had a brutal heart attack.
Got the injection and immediately had a heart attack and is no longer with us.
Is there an echo in this room?
So, I'm just making sure that everybody is understanding, myself included.
So, they, you know, this guy, they say he had a Napoleonic complex.
Uh-huh.
And, he hated that, you know.
Was he not tall? Was he a short, guy?
Right. He always had his hand inside his shirt. See, look, here's the thing, okay? You know, God has a plan. And I'm not a religious guy. I've become more spiritual in the last 8 years. But, you know, you kind of like dance with, you know.
Dance with who brung you?
Yeah. You know, I don't think that, like, it's one thing if you color your hair. It's another thing if you want to buy a pair of cowboy boots. It's another thing if, you know, your wife wants to, like, move into an exciting neighborhood. But I don't think you want to go and get an extension.
Uh-huh.
It's a pretty, my dad told me once.
Aggressive?
My dad told me once, he goes, you know the term minor surgery? Minor surgery only applies to surgery when it's not you.
You're crediting your dad for that line?
Well, no. I didn't say he created it. I didn't say he made it up. I'm saying he told me that.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Has my father called your father yet, by the way?
No, he has not.
Okay. My dad wants to talk to your dad. He keeps saying that, but
they
he never
went to
calls.
They went to high school together. How crazy is that?
They went to high school together, and we do a radio show together. It's really adorable.
Right. They went to high school together in the 1800s.
1942?
Yeah.
Was that the graduating year?
Summer of 42.
Marshall High School?
The Marshall Commandos. So, I mean, this guy, he didn't want anybody to know. He had this complex. He didn't want anybody to know that he was... You know,
deficient.
Yeah, and now everybody knows, and he's dead. He's a billionaire. Think of all the people we know that don't have any money, and this guy is a billionaire. And what's he going to do with the money?
Well, it is a rough legacy to lead.
Yeah,
leave.
It's
not lead.
A billionaire diamond merchant, and you know you can't go back in time.
Well, when you have that much money, Harry, you get a lot of creative thoughts. How's that?
But what person he would be dating would say, that's not enough for me. He's a billionaire, for God's sakes.
Well,
and also, if you had that situation, wouldn't you kind of like know how to use, you know.
Make the best of it?
Yeah.
See, I don't think that's about anyone else other than this fine gentleman and his own desires. So, who am I to judge somebody, Harry, if they want to. try to make themselves better. I'm sure he knew the risks, unfortunately, this didn't work out.
See, now,
in the worst kind of way.
I've always had friends that, you know, are very good looking, and I've been out of shape. You know, Carm, you're a very good looking guy.
Oh, thanks, Harry.
And I'm out of shape, but I counter that with, you know, a sincere, you know, care. I care about the women, you know, that I'm with. And
well, you have a tremendous personality. You're actually, I disagree, you're a great looking man. and you've had a
Did you say grape or great?
It's all in how you carry yourself, Harry.
But they say sense of humor is the number one turn on for women.
I don't know if that's true. 312-981-7200. I'll throw that one out there. That's the number one turn on, sense of humor.
Well, because look, you know, you start going out with this guy who's great looking, and then you're out with him a couple times, and you know, it's like, I'm bored, you know, whereas this guy is going to keep me going.
What about the ability to go deep, have that in-depth conversation, really get to the heart of matters, opening yourself up that way?
I had an acting teacher who told me in high school, intimate conversations are the best part of life. You know, and I agree with that. I think intimate conversations are great. But the point is, just because, you know, you're a diamond merchant and God only gave you 2 carats, there is no need to have something injected.
Okay. All right. Well, unfortunately, in this particular case, lesson was not learned.
Yeah. I guess he's only going to need like 2 pallbearers.
Moving along. So, I'd like to just give you credit here.
Yes, not for that story.
No, not for that. I knew it was going to end incredibly awkwardly, so that was the ending right there.
Didn't seem awkward to me.
I want to give credit to my good friend Harry Tynowitz here. You, Harry,
mm-hmm.
You're wearing a Mark Brunell Jacksonville Jaguars
yes.
jersey today, which is the number 8. And
oh, Carm,
I didn't quite understand why you were wearing a number 8 jersey. The Jaguars aren't playing today. I just figured you just threw a random jersey on. But you actually are wearing it for a reason, the 8, because this past week you've turned 8 years sober and you have a coin that signifies it. And that is a huge transformation for someone, for you, Harry, and you should be very proud of yourself, for real. Prioritizing yourself, taking care of yourself, and just doing better by you. So congratulations. That's amazing.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. First of all, you know, when I got a DUI in 2011, and it was in the paper for 4 straight days. So there's never been, my response to that was to go in to rehab. And my agent suggested it. My former agent. I think that's the last time my former agent talked to me.
Good advice, though. At least you got a good one on the way out.
Saved my life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not about prioritizing me. It's prioritizing the people I care about. It's prioritizing my family, prioritizing, you know, my kids, my wife, my friends, and my parents, and not being so self-absorbed. And most people in my position, we just don't know. You know, all we've ever known is we go out, we party, we play around. You know, you can go to a bar, you're going to, you know, have a few. So that's what I did. And then when I checked into rehab, I had no intention of actually getting sober. I just went in there to save my job. And I was in there and I figured out, you know what? I've done it. I've done it all. I've done the, you know, the crazy Vegas weekends. I've done the college football trips with Don Davis. I've done the go to a Cubs game at, you know, noon and get back at, you know, 10 o'clock at night 3 days later. You know, so it was just time to straighten up. And I'm so glad I did it, because on Twitter, I estimated the number of shots that I've had or that I've missed. So figure I was doing 15 shots of Cuervo a week. Okay, isn't that what you do?
15 a week.
Right.
So how many a day would you say?
So 15 times 52 is 780. 780 times 8 equals 6,240 shots.
Oh, my God.
I think it's possible that I have saved myself 6,240 shots. I would have been dead.
Most likely you would have.
Right.
And there's major, major, major problems.
And selfishly, I could have been in the car with someone I loved. I could have hit somebody innocent. And I you know, and I haven't beat this thing. I'm in recovery. I haven't beat it. You know, I hit that commercial on TV where the guy goes, "Hey, come to our rehab place and you'll be saved." That never happens. You're in recovery the whole time. But like I said, there's nothing anonymous about my program. So 90% of the world doesn't have this problem. You know, have one for me, but I was at a meeting this morning at 8, and I'll be going again Wednesday night to a meeting.
So how many days a week do you go to meetings?
I go to 2 meetings a week. Different people go different amounts.
And when you started out, you did, what, 90 meetings in 90 days?
Yes, which is a boatload of meetings. I tried getting out of that, man. I you know, the Jew in me came out. 19 meetings in 90 days? Why would I go to 9 meetings in 90 days?
But you did it.
I did it. I did it in 77 days.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So you went to multiple meetings.
Yes, I went to multiple. And I'm like Forrest Gump. I've been to, you know, all kinds of different meetings.
So what's your advice to somebody out there, perhaps who's listening right now, who is living the life that you used to live, or maybe is just starting out on their journey, and now you're 8 years deep? Obviously, there's no roadmap here, but what would you say?
I would say that, you know, the first step is admitting that you have a problem, and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah, and you're not alone, right?
No, you're not alone. Millions of people are in this program, and you can go to any city in America, any city in the world, and there are meetings. There's 4,500 meetings in Chicago alone that end in A for different types of addictions.
And you were kind of, at least my amateur psychological profile here, is that you were kind of maybe borderline, or not even borderline, like addicted to sort of being the funny guy and the entertainment guy.
Life of the party.
Right. And so that's to not be that guy.
Well, I'm still the life of the party. It's just that now I remember. Yeah. That's the other thing.
I haven't noticed. Yes, but I get
you're funny. People that aren't in the program think, well, you're not going to drink anymore. You're not going to have fun anymore.
Right.
I've had people say that to me. How are you going to have fun? I laugh my butt off. I still go to bars. I just have, you know, lemonade or iced tea instead of having tequila or vodka.
Yeah. And by the way, you don't have to go to bars to have fun either. You do a million other things.
Right.
And truly, it's, again, congratulations. It's inspiring to see what you've done. And I am extremely proud of you. I haven't known you like I've known you now, but I've known you for, you know, when I started in the business, what, 97 or whatever, and just playing, listening to the radio. Just the transformation, it's a major, major deal. So congrats.
Yes, thank you. My old boss said, you know, I think, you know, you put too much emphasis on drinking. I go, you're the one that changed the name of the show to the Afternoon Saloon.
Well, they leaned into that one. That's true. All right. Well, hey, I'm glad you wore the shirt. I'm glad you're talking about it. And thanks for letting us in a little bit there. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Bunch of texts coming in here for you, Harry. Congratulations. Good for you. Celebrating 35 years. Good for you, Harry. I've been clean almost 28 years.
All right. Those are big numbers.
23 years for me. Lots of congrats, Harry's. Lots of one day at a times are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. A year and a half here, so you're touching people, man. 219 has a question. Harry, I know everyone is different, but can you share one thing the family can do to help? We're talking about Harry being sober for 8 years now.
You could go. They have all kinds of different meetings. You could go to what they call an open meeting, where you don't have to be an alcoholic, and you could go and support them that way. Or there's a program called Al-Anon for family members. You could go to an Al-Anon meeting.
Okay, that's how you think families. That's one way families could support.
Absolutely.
There you go. So we got Blackhawks hockey coming up here in 5 minutes. Just a couple quick sports takes that I want to get out before we get gone here.
Yes.
Right now, maybe the greatest rivalry in college basketball, Duke and North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
They're going at it. They're in the second half. Carolina leads Duke 50-47. So Duke, as most basketball fans know, has a player by the name of Zion Williamson, who's going to go number one in the NBA draft. And he can jump out of the gym, and he's a physical anomaly. All of it. He weighs 285 pounds, which is, and he's fast and can, has a vertical leap that's 40-plus inches. All unheard of stuff. And he busted through his shoe, and he injured his knee when Duke played Carolina at home a couple of weeks ago. And so there's all this noise about should he play, should he not play. He's got millions of dollars in the NBA draft coming up. Mm-hmm. And even if he got hurt again, people are saying that he'd still be the number one pick because he's just that talented, so he absolutely should play, and that basketball players play. It's not football. You're not crashing into each other. It's how you get better. You're on the court. He's honing his skills, so he'll be effective in the NBA. All of that is true, and it's the end of the season. he'd be coming back in the conference tournament. That's game after game after game. You play one day, you play the next day, you play the next day. In the NCAA tournament, you would play one day, have a day off, you play the next day. High-level games. Guys going 1,010% to try and win. He's been off the court for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. He's going to be the number one draft pick. And yes, Duke has taken out huge insurance on him. He's not going to be a broke man no matter what happens.
Well, but his insurance only clicks in if he is not a lottery pick, if he's picked 16th or later for some reason.
That's a bizarre, weird part of it. The point is this. He's going to be the number one draft pick in the NBA.
Yes. Do you think he should go back on the floor and try to win a title with Duke, or do you think he should never play again?
And I know that he really wants to play and loves being at Duke, loves Coach K. This is where the school should protect the player from himself. Zion, you just injured your knee. It's not the most serious knee injury, but you injured your knee. And you weren't ready to come back before the end of the regular season. We are going to protect you and your future. And as much as you want to be on the court, we're taking that option away from you. What schools tend to do is they ask the player, how do you feel? Well, we'll talk to the doctors. We'll see what's going on. If the doctor's clear, you can play. I'm sorry, it does matter that he's not playing for money there. And I know that it's not all about the money. He just wants to play. Basketball players play. But it's ridiculous to me for a guy to be put back on the court at this point in the season, especially when he's going to be the number one overall draft pick. To me, that is irresponsible by the school, by Duke, by Coach K, if they play him.
I know it's better radio if we argue, but I'm on the same page with you. It is generational wealth. He is one slip away from missing out on a contract that would give his family generational wealth. And when Shaquille O'Neal was a freshman at LSU, his coach told him, you got to leave college. You got to go to the pros right now.
And people are saying, though, that, hey, if he gets hurt again, he's still the number one pick. It's about the money, and it's also about his career. Give yourself time to heal. Play a bunch of hoop in the summer. Get drafted. Play hoop.
Get drafted, get your deal.
Get your paper, as they say. Play summer league. There's plenty of time for him to play a ton of basketball. Let him just, you know, come on, man. The whole thing's ridiculous. Because he's going to play. I mean, Coach K was quoted today, we expect him back for the conference tournament.
That's why you haven't played since your freshman year at Iowa, right?
Right, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Michigan and Michigan State, by the way, are playing for the Big Ten title tonight as well, so that's going to be a sweet game.
In the Izzone.
In the Izzone. And coming up 50 seconds from now, Chris Bowden's going to have your Blackhawks pregame. The Blackhawks, are you having any premonitions that they're just going to win out? And
Yep. Blackhawk watch party Wednesday night in Blue Island.
There you go. Oh, okay. Where at?
In Blue Island.
In Blue Island, great. Check Harry's Twitter. He'll let you know. Thank you to our producer, Curtis Koch. Thanks for Chris Bowden for jumping in here today. Thanks to Scott Merkin for coming on White Sox Weekly. And it was also a treat today to be able just to talk about some graduating seniors over at Northwestern as we were on right after the Wildcats lost to Purdue. Good luck to the Cats on Wednesday night when they face the Illini at the United Center.
7:45 pregame, 8 o'clock tip.
7:45 thing. Good knowledge of the schedule right there. Have a great Saturday night. We will talk to you next week. Carmen Harris saying goodbye.